Don't we have a great praise team? We are so blessed. We're going to try to wrap up false identity today. And whether you realize it or not, you're known far greater than you could ever imagine. But I want to kind of define false identity for you in a different way today. And false identity is any identity that Christ has not put on you. We put identities on ourselves. We put other people put identities on us. But there's good news. You can change your identity. I didn't always have the identity I have now. I changed. And you can change your identity. And like I say, you're well known. And I'll give you an example of being well known. As a contractor in Florida, in South Florida, not here. Some here, but mostly in South Florida. I got a call from a lady once, and she said, "You're going to remodel my house." I said, "Oh, really?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "What makes you think I'm going to remodel your house?" She said, "Because I called three different people who don't know each other, and they all three gave me your name." I'm well known. A lady called from Wisconsin and called the tile shop, the big tile shop in town that has 10 stores, and I'm on the do not recommend list. I put myself there. Do not recommend me to anybody. That was my words to them. But she called up and she said, "I need the best contractor in South Florida, the best." And they said, "There's only one guy," and they gave him my name. I'm known. I'm known by my standards. I'm known by my work ethic. I'm known by my actions. I have people, I don't think I've ever told you this before, but I'm going to tell you now, I have people that pay me to answer my phone. Oh, yeah. Just so they call, I come. They may go the whole year and not call. But they pay me to answer my phone. That's why I get angry when you call me in the middle of the night for no reason, because I have to have my phone on. I heard that, Shannon. So, if you want a good identity, you've got to go the extra step. For example, I was putting granite in a house, in an apartment four stories up. My piece of granite wouldn't fit through the stairway and it wouldn't fit in the elevator. So the family asked me, they said, "Where are you going to cut it at? Where are you going to seam it?" And I looked at him and I said, "I'm not seaming this granite. Anybody else would have seamed it." I said, I don't want to seam." And they looked at me, "Well, what are you going to do?" I said, "I'll be back in a couple days." 2 days later, I showed up with a crane. We lifted it up four stories over the catwalk and right in the door. Who would have done that? Nobody. You have to go the extra mile. Did it cost me then? Yeah. It cost me to buy the crane. But in the long run, they pay me a lot of money to do a lot of other things because they completely trust that I'm going to do it correctly and that I care enough to do it the very best it can be done. And so I'm well known. And I could go on with 50 stories to tell you how well known I am. How well known are you? What are you known for? Are you known that you cuss like a sailor? Are you known that you are lazy? How are you known? People know you. They just know you. I got a call from a guy in the Keys who owned four Burger Kings. And he said to me, he says, "I need to talk to you about restoration work in my stores." I said, "Have you realized you called Fort Lauderdale?" And he said, "Yeah, I know where I called." I said, "Sir, it's 4 hours to your first store from where I'm at." And he says, "Yeah, I know." I said, "But, sir, I'm going to put four guys in a truck, and it's $75 an hour, whether we're swinging a hammer or driving down the road listening to music. All I sell is time. And he said, that's fine. Just do me this favor. Drive 4 hours, work 8 hours, and drive 4 hours back. I'll pay you for 16 hours, $300 an hour. Okay. And he says, I am tired of hiring people that don't show up, who don't do the job right, do it and it doesn't hold up. I know you're an expert in these Burger Kings. I know you know the store from backwards to forwards. I know you know what you're doing. I'm known. I didn't know him, but he knew me. See, you're known by people that you don't know. People you don't know your character. They know your, they know who you are. You know who you are. You know the things that need to change so that you could have the identity. Now I'm going to give you the litmus test to know you have the proper identity. The Bible says you should have favor with God and with man. When you reach that point, you'll know that you're walking in proper identity. Things will happen that can't be explained. People will do things for you. You can't explain why they did it for you. Why? You have favor. You have favor with God and favor with men. And that's the point you want to get to. How are you going to get there? You got to be faithful in the things that you do. In and out doesn't work in anything. You have to be honest, right? You know, in the construction business, there's back ends. There's always back ends. In other words, you're getting paid from the client, and then you're also getting paid from the supplier. And the client doesn't know you're getting paid from the supplier. I don't do that. This is how much I get. You can write a check to the supplier for what they want, but this is what I get. All my money's right here, bam, pay it or don't pay it, but this is what I get. I don't have to do the back door where they don't know, what I'm making. I don't have a problem with telling you how I make. I'm known to be expensive, but I'm known to be worth it. That's the difference. They don't expect. I'm doing a job in Tavares right now. That thing's 300 miles from Fort Lauderdale. And I told her, I said, listen, if you want me in Tavares, you're going to have to pay. And she said, I'll pay whatever it costs because I want you there. Your actions speak loud words. They really do. And you, when you're talking about other people or you're acting a fool and you're not taking the things you do seriously, you're known. The devil makes you well known. God will make you well known. Who's making you known? But you're known. And we walk around with these false identities because we've become something outside of what Christ wants us to be. Christ wants you to be loyal to your friends, to your family, to the people that he wants you to be loyal to. He wants you to be of love. My clients hug me all the time. It's just the way it goes. Because they can sense something. It's favor with man. I'm always, taken aback when I get a big hug from a female client, because I'm not trying to get a hug from a female client. I don't know them that well. It's not like I see them every week, but I've had them jump in my arms off the ground. It's favor among men, and that's what you want to strive for. Favor with God, which will get you favor with men. There's no separating the two. If you have no favor with man, then you have no favor with God. Okay? Doors open when you have favor. Some people have a mountain, a hallway of closed doors. They can't seem to get anywhere. They can't get out of the way. Nothing happens good. And then you start to get some favor, and doors start to open. And all of a sudden, you were in a jam, a bad jam, but you ain't in that jam no more. Because God opened the door and got you out of it. And you're sitting there, wow, I wasn't expecting to get out of this jam, but all of a sudden you're out of the jam. Because God opened the door. Why? You're beginning to have a new identity. As your identity changes, favor comes in. As your identity becomes godly, when you finally decide that this is serious stuff, you're going to see God do some serious rearranging to your identity. Right? And I'm going to let Pastor Linda, because we want to wrap this up tonight, so we're going to let her go.
Okay, we're gonna pick up where we left off with Peter. Let's see where Peter reveals his false identity. Before we recall the story, it is important that you understand this is not a case of mistaken identity. Remember, mistaken identity is on you. False identity is on me. Peter's intent was to lead the people to believe he was someone he was not.
Luke 22:54-62. They grabbed him at this point and took him away to the high priest's home. Peter followed at a distance. So they grabbed Jesus, and Peter followed at a distance. Now, that's a problem right there, at a distance. You've been walking with this man for 3 years, 3.5 years, and you're following at a distance. You're separating your identity with Christ. We do that as well. When we condone certain things around us and we go to the party that we know in our hearts we shouldn't be at. Right? This is and we're okay with it because, you know, we used to do that stuff and maybe we still do and you know, whatever. But you're being a Peter. See, if you can't drink it in the church, you can't drink it outside the church. If you can't smoke it in the church, you can't smoke it outside the church. That's just the truth. Right? You can't smoke cigarettes in here. Right? Shouldn't be smoking them out there either. A guy asked me to watch his kid once, his baby. And he said, well, where are you going to be? I said, it doesn't matter where I'm going. The fact is, I don't go anywhere that I couldn't take this baby with me. Right? I'm not going somewhere where the baby wouldn't be safe or welcome. Everywhere I go, that baby would be welcome with me. All right, move on. He watched from the shadows at those who had seized Jesus, made a fire in the center of the courtyard, and sat down around it. Then Peter slipped in quietly and sat with them. But a young servant girl saw his face in the firelight. She stared for a while and then spoke. This fellow here was with Jesus. I recognize him. And Peter said, woman, I don't even know the man. And that's what we've done to Christ. I don't even know Christ. That's what you're saying when you're betraying him by doing what you know not to be right. A little later, a man recognized him. I recognize you. You're one of Jesus' followers. And Peter says, man, you're wrong. I am not. An hour or so passed, and then another person pointed to Peter. This fellow is obviously Galilean. He must be a member of Jesus' group. And Peter says, look, I have no idea what you're talking about. And he hadn't even finished the sentence when a nearby rooster crowed. The Lord turned toward Peter. Their eyes met. Peter remembered Jesus' words about his triple denial before the rooster would crow. So he left the courtyard and wept bitter tears. Can you imagine how bad it feels when you betray someone, but can you imagine how good it feels when you stand up for him? I'm going to tell you when that's going to come into effect, when you're standing before Christ. And when he says, you betrayed me. But it's not going to be three times. It's going to be, you betrayed me 20 times. You betrayed me 50 times. You betrayed me 1,000 times. Because we've all done it. That's where grace comes in. God gives us grace to start over every day. You can change your identity tomorrow. How many times have I told you, I don't want to be judged on the guy I was 20 years ago. I don't want to be judged on the guy I was last week. I'm a new creation in Christ today. Today. I'm stronger today than I was yesterday. I'm a new creation today. If you want to judge me today, judge me on who I am today, not who I was 40 years ago. That wouldn't fare well for me. So here's Peter, and he knows that he has denied his identity with Christ. I think that's the worst thing we can do. I had a homosexual yesterday swear in front of me, and he immediately apologized because he knows my identity. I said, you don't have to apologize to me. He said, no, I do. Because I carry my identity wherever I go. I don't care who you are, I carry my identity with me. I'm not going to deny Christ. Now, if he ever asks me the question, will I go to hell? I will answer the question. Am I just going to tell him? No, nope, I'm not. But if he asks, if he opens the door, I'm going right through it. That's the way it goes. As long as I'm at work, I'm not going to butt into your personal life and your business. That's not my job. My job is to do the job that you called me to do. But if you open a door, then I'm free to go in. And I will go in. And you'll wish you didn't open that door when I'm done. Okay.
Understand one thing. When you deny a child of God, a brother or sister in Christ, regardless what your feelings are toward them, when you deny them, you, my friend, are a Peter. You just denied Christ. You denied the Christ that is in them,
right,
as well. So it's not just about denying Christ when you stand before God. It's all the people that you denied. It's all the times that you denied Christ. It's not just once or twice. Peter repented, or he had repentance in his heart. He was distraught, so to speak. So, was the repentance in your dance with false identity like Peter? A life principle here is what we identify with shapes our actions. Allow yourself to pause and acknowledge your identity in Christ. Remember, what you say and what you allow people to speak over you you accept. I went through all these years never having COVID. Why? God told me to do something, and I did it. Still do it to this day. But every time I was around, and let me tell you, I was right up in the middle of COVID many times. Full-blown COVID all around me. Oh, you're going to get COVID? No, I'm not. Don't you feel sick? Nope. You're going to catch COVID? No, I'm not. I didn't accept it. Shift in the atmosphere, my friend. God's not going to accept a lot of things that are going on. Shift in the atmosphere. Allow it to shape you, to shape how you think and how you look at the world, and therefore how you live. The core purpose of false identity, encased in the need of approval or people-pleasing addictions. Now listen to me. To deceive others, leading them to believe the individual is someone they are not. What did I just say? You accept, proclaim, carry, take on false identities to please a man. Not a man, but men. Human. Not necessarily a man, can be a female. But that's the reason why you take on false identity, because you have to be the person that you're not to get next to the person that you need to be next to. That, my friend, won't get you anywhere. Because if you have to please him to get where you need to be, you ain't pleasing him at all. He comes first. Somebody said the other day something about the head of the house, or I forget how the sentence come about, but they said, oh, you must be the head of your house. And I laughed. And I said, no, sir. Not even my husband is the head of my house. My God is the head of my house. Then my husband. So where is your identity? They wanted to lay a false identity on me. Didn't take it. Won't take it. Talk all you want. Say everything you want. Don't accept it. Now, before you get it twisted, we're only messengers. If this topic has created in you uncomfortable or a stirring or anger in your spirit, God's talking to you. I'd be seeking repentance, finding a quiet place, and I'd be calling on God to show me what I've done wrong, where I've done it wrong. God calls false identity by name. You want to know what the name is? Sin. Bet you didn't know that, did you? If you are who God says you are, then why are you walking around in covenant with man trying to hide who you really are? Ain't none of the disciples top-notch people. They all had a past. They were all low class. Ain't none of them rich. But God used every one of them. So why do you have to go around with a false identity pretending to be somebody you're not? Because you want status quo? Status quo ain't getting you into heaven.
What's the saying? Fake it till you make it?
Yeah, fake it till you make it. And there's a lot, you know, you're absolutely correct. There's a lot of people within the sound of our voice, via internet, here, that are going straight to hell because they're faking it till they make it. You know, it ain't about whether I believe you're fake or not. It's whether he believes you're fake or not. Because you know what? My opinion don't matter. It's what he thinks about you. So you want to fake it till you make it? When you sit under a bishop like him? Don't know what to say.
One thing that irritates me is I'll get somebody trying to live right, trying to do the right thing, trying to give up certain things, but then they go get by somebody else and they're influenced and they don't want to look like anything in front of that person, so they join in doing it again, and then they get caught right back up into the vicious cycle, and it never ends because they were trying to please somebody. They were creating an identity. And I'm not even going to say it's a false identity, because it is your identity.
Becomes your character.
Yeah. So, and that's why we tell you, you know, hey, you can't walk this walk and hang on to everybody. There are people in your life that have to go because they're not going to be beneficial for your walk and for where you're going. And family is like this weird thing for me, because I have family, everybody has family, but I don't consider a lot of them my family. I consider the people I see twice a week my family, or three times or four times a week, some of you. And that's my family. I see you every week. We're family. My brother, I haven't seen in 3 years. I haven't talked to him on the phone. I talked to him once in 3 years. How do I give more importance to that than what I have a relationship with? I don't. Jesus said on the cross, "Mother, here's your son. Son, here's your mother."
Mm.
They were not blood related. The guy came to Jesus and said, "You know, I want to follow you." Jesus said, "Let's go." Guy said, "But first, I got to go bury my father."
That's a tad bit for them.
Now, the father wasn't even sick. And Jesus said these words, "Let the dead bury the dead."
Mm-hmm.
If you have to cut ties because somebody's taking you away from Christ, then you have to cut ties. God will never settle for second best. Seek him first. He makes it real clear. Seek him first. Now, I struggled with that as a new Christian, you know, because the church would say, you have to love God more than your family. And I'd be like, I can't do that. How am I going to love God more than my wife? How am I going to love God more than my children? That don't make any sense to me. And it didn't for a long time. And then I realized something. Loving God first will give your family a greater love than you can give them now. You find a different love, a different way to, it makes it stronger, it makes it better.
Mm-hmm.
So, by loving God first, increased, made better all my other relationships. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all things will be added. So, God doesn't tell you these things because he feels insecure. He tells you these things because he knows they'll benefit you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the divorce rate in churches is just terrible. It's no different than outside of the church. And I attribute that to two people not putting God first. Because if you put God first, and I know what I'm talking about because we did it, then you'll be surprised what doesn't matter anymore. You'll be surprised what you used to fight about is not even a thought of fighting anymore. Continue.
If you think that walking around sinning under a false identity is keeping you out of the sight of God, this is what the psalmist says.
When it comes to the Lord, there is no hiding place. The Lord knows everything about us, inside and outside. And it's the inside that is the scary part, not the outside. Because we can make the outside look whatever we want it to look like. But we can't make the inside look like anything other than what it is.
When assuming a false identity, you choose to conform to the way of Satan's plans instead of his plans. Now he wants you to see the infliction it has caused on you.
Your real identity of who God says you are was torn, stripped away from you by the lies of Satan's pawns. You know the ones who said you would never be anything, you'll never change, your life was over, the ones who make you feel inferior to them. A godly person will do anything to encourage you. They're not going to make you feel like you're worthless. They're going to tell you the truth. They're not lying. I encourage Franklin a lot. I'm not lying. I'm telling you God's perspective on you, and I just happen to share God's perspective. It's not a lie, right? Because I know what God can do. I know what he can take a lump of clay and put it into it, make it a teacup. Right? I know it. I've watched him do it. And it's never too late. You can always do it when we submit. You don't have to like it. The teacup didn't like what was happening to it, but it did submit to it. Right? I would find it very strange if you didn't like some of the things God put you through or let you go through. Right? But the best thing you can do is submit to it and go through it, because when you come out, you're going to come out differently. Right? And it's like when God says give thanks in all circumstances. Some people think that means all things. I don't. I don't thank him for what he didn't do. Marjorie had cancer. I never once thanked God for that cancer, and I never will. God didn't give her cancer. The devil did. I thank God for the circumstance that he used to strengthen us, that he used. I thank him for the wonderful doctors he sent us. I thank him for the favor we had at the hospital. I thank him for the favor we had in the doctors. I mean, I can tell you stories how we got the number one oncologist in South Florida because another doctor called and got her for us. I can tell you stories in a waiting room of 30 or 40 people. They would come out and pull us aside and bring us in and not make us wait. So many things to thank God for in the circumstance. You're going through something right now? I'm going to tell you right now. Find something to thank God for. Say, God, this ain't fun, but I see what you're doing, God, and I'm excited to see the outcome of what you're doing. I thank you for the circumstance that I'm going through because it's changing my perspective. It's changing the way I look at things. It's changing me from the inside out. It's changing my family, and we're going to come out of this strong. If I was Rob, I would not thank God for the loss of my job. Because I don't know if he did it or not. He might have, but he might not have. But I would be thanking God for the opportunities and the doors that he's opening for a better job. Right? And he's got a start date of Tuesday. You know? So he's got a lot to thank God for. You know, God, you gave me this time of thinking. You know, he's had a lot of time to think in the last 3-4 weeks. Right? 8 weeks? 8 weeks. Thank you for the time I had to spend with my family while this was going on. Thank you, God, that I didn't lose my mind and didn't lose my control and I wasn't walking around angry because of this scary circumstance. You know, so much to thank God. So much to thank God for. And that's important when you're going through something, to figure out what to thank God for and start thanking Him. I'm sorry, I got off track. I always do. Father, we thank you for the wonderful message. Thank you, God, that we're learning how to function with the proper identity. Bless us in the name of Jesus. Amen.